Great news. SideRetired is now partnered with SeatGeek. For all ticketing needs, go to SeatGeek.com and use promo code SideRetiredPod in all capitals for $20 off your first order. We've got you covered from all things ranging from sporting events to concerts, including MLB and Taylor Swift. Yes, this means we're officially taking you out to the ballgame. And now for today's edition of Side Retired Podcast. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It is Dylan Campione here, but you will not be hearing my voice that often in this episode because, of course, we have our two college baseball experts, Nico Fernandez and Henry Kalani, are on with us today. And we're going to be doing an NCAA college baseball preview. Playoffs start later this week. So we're going to get our two experts on talking about all the different tournaments, all the teams to watch, the playoff format, and everything in between. Technically, I'm a biased opinion because the Georgetown Hoyas did indeed make the college playoffs. We're in the Big East tournament, so I'm not allowed to say anything about this subject. So instead, going to pass it on to our two experts. But first, I'll say go Hoyas. Yeah, maybe. Who knows? We're winning the tournament. Nice and simple. Big East, watch out. Big game against UConn coming up on Wednesday. But Nico, Henry, how you guys doing? And I'll turn the mic over to you guys for the rest of the episode.
I'm doing great. I'm super excited now that we have playoff season starting. I must say that first day of regionals, once the field's been set, is one of my favorite days in sports. Arguably better than that first day of March Madness if you're a baseball fan. You have so much action happening around the country, and it's really just a pleasure to watch. So I think the plan for today with Nico is going to be we're going to go through the SEC tournament and the ACC tournament, those two being obviously the two biggest tournaments in the country, to take a look at who we like, who are some dark horses, who we think might get upset, and then where that sets everybody up going into the official NCAA tournament. And then maybe take a look at the Big 12 championship, maybe the Atlantic, the American, and we'll just see where that takes us. And yeah, get you all the information that you need to know before playoff season officially begins. So how you doing, Nico?
Can't complain, bro. Exactly what you said. I think the SEC and the ACC are really the ones that people kind of look at to see that's what they think of college baseball, but also the smaller ones like the Big 12, the AAC, and all those have a lot of good ball clubs that I think just looking at how each team stacks up in these tournaments and how that affects the super regional is going to be great.
Yeah. So we can get right into it with the SEC. Obviously, they are looking to break the record for the most hosting bids by any one conference in the NCAA tournament. They would have to get 17, or sorry, they would have to get 7, which is an incredible number, by the way, like super impressive. But first, we focus on their tournament. The tournament is broken up into two double elimination brackets, with the winners of each of those brackets meeting in the championship. Bracket one has South Carolina playing Georgia, Tennessee playing Texas A&M, and then the winners of those two games playing LSU and Arkansas, respectively. So Nico, if you would like to say anything about those two first round games, who you think might be in possible upset, who has impressed you this season and who hasn't, the floor is yours.
Yeah, really one of the teams that I like is as much as I love Tennessee swag, I'm really interested in Georgia's team. I think their record hasn't really shown as much as they've played. I think that a lot of people, when they're looking at the tournament, they're seeing Georgia as underdogs. So I think I'm going to kind of ride that, and hopefully we can see something out of them. But obviously Tennessee, just with the culture that it's able to develop, I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee is just able to ride a lot of stuff and be able to go far into this tournament.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And also because South Carolina right now is the perfect example of life comes at you fast, right? They were a top 5 seed in the country. And then a few weeks later, they're unranked in the most recent top 25 poll. It's going to be really interesting giving them a clean slate, a chance to prove themselves once again heading into the tournament, because they will make the tournament. It's just simply about where they rank and where they play. So South Carolina, I think, is definitely a possibility to get upset. Now, the one thing that I will say that I'm interested to see out of Tennessee is that they have been pretty bad on the road this year. They do not have a great record against other SEC teams on the road. And while this is played at a neutral site, I'm interested to see how not being in Lindsey Nelson Stadium is going to affect them. And so for bracket two, we have Kentucky playing Alabama and Auburn playing Missouri, with the winners of those two games playing Florida and Vanderbilt. So if any of these teams really speak to you, then again, Nico, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, I just one of the things that I wonder is like, how much is Alabama, with everything that has gone on this season, from ranking from their coach and all that, how much is that going to affect them going into this? I think that a lot of people have really heard of them just because of that, and I think that really just it's interesting that how they can go into the tournament and still keep their head up, basically attached, because they've been 16 and 14 in conference. They've shown that they'll be able to win big games, but it's just how much is having a new coach, just having everything go downhill, is that going to affect them in the tournament?
Yeah, and the one thing that I will say about Missouri and Kentucky is these are two teams who have flown pretty under the radar for SEC play. Obviously, it's hard to make headlines when you're not only in a division with Florida and Vanderbilt, but just in general when you're in a conference that is as successful and as deep as the SEC. But Kentucky and Missouri are two really gritty teams who I would not be surprised if they do make a run, not only in the SEC. In the SEC tournament, but also in the NCAA tournament. I think that they are two, if they can scrounge out appearances, I think they could be making a run into the Super Regional if you put them in the right regional setting, and they could take a lot of people by surprise. So now if we can then look at bracket one again, who would you say, Nico? Who do you have coming out of that to play in the SEC championship? It's going to be a dogfight either way.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Give me bracket one again. Sorry.
It would South Carolina and Georgia, and then Tennessee and Texas A&M, and the winners of those two games will play LSU and Arkansas.
I really like Arkansas from the simple reason of I think that LSU has been as good as they've been. I honestly think they've been a little disappointing. I really think that they haven't been what everyone's kind of been. I think they've had this hype up, obviously, with Tommy White transferring, Dylan Cruz being the number one pick in the draft for the whole year. Everyone's basically said it. I really think that they need to kind of show everyone why they were thought to be so good, and I could really easily see them being upset. And I think that just makes it really easy for Arkansas to go and come out of that bracket.
Yeah, I think that especially if LSU takes a loss, then the road for Arkansas to make it becomes so much easier, and they've shown that they can roll through any team in the SEC that you throw in front of them. Now, the one thing that I will say for LSU is if I'm them, I'm not starting Paul Skeens on day one. Right. Paul Skeens is the guy who you know you can throw the ball to, and he will come in and perform. And you can't say that for some of their other pitchers. I know that they were very excited about getting Christian Will. He hasn't proven much to at least so far, but Paul Skeens is in my opinion, if you lose game one, he is your elimination game. He is the guy that you are going to take and ride with throughout the rest of the tournament. And if you win, then he is the guy to give you that extra push and get you that much closer. But if I'm them, I'm not starting Paul Skeens on day one. Now, for bracket two, we have, just to refresh, Kentucky and Alabama, and then Auburn and Missouri playing Florida and Vanderbilt, respectively. Now that is an incredibly deep and kind of gritty set of teams. So who you got?
It's tough for me here, because one thing that I don't like about Florida is just the simple fact that they're just so good, and one of those things that seems like when it's too good to be true, it probably is. But I don't see how you don't take Florida right now. I mean, they're kind of firing on all cylinders. I really think that just in college baseball in general, you can kind of see a hole with every team. I'm struggling to find a hole with Florida. I think their pitching is great. I think they hit. I think they rake. I think I really don't see where that weakness is coming in, where I can easily see it with any other team. So it's kind of hard for me to not say Florida is going to come out of this.
So, and the one thing that I'll say to that is I agree. I think Florida is far and away the best team in this bracket. But to play devil's advocate, I think Auburn could kind of surprise a few people. I think Auburn has a chance to make a pretty substantial run. They've shown that while they have lost some series, they've shown that they can beat up on some of the other teams in this bracket in particular. They did beat Alabama. It's going to be a tough road, obviously. They're playing some incredibly good teams, and their next round game would be against Vanderbilt, who is they're Vanderbilt, right? Like they're college baseball icons at this point, but at the end of the day, they're just another team. So I think Auburn has a chance to make a run that not many people are expecting them to, but I think at the end of the day, you have to go with Florida.
Yeah, one thing
So,
I will say to agree
yeah.
with you real quick about Auburn is I think everyone says, like, kind of you're saying Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt really, when you look at it, they're not that
Yeah.
good offensively. I mean, yes, they have their pitching, and their pitching, is always going to be good. Devin Futrell, Hunter Rowland, those are guys. Nick Maldonado coming out of the pen. Their hitting isn't always what it's jacked up to me. I mean, they have one guy hitting over 300. I know that's kind of skewed, but really, I could easily see if they get a guy who's just, how baseball is, they get a pitcher who's just working well. I can easily see a Vanderbilt team getting shut out and losing 2-0.
Yeah, and I mean, a game that I've really gone back to that sort of encapsulates the Vanderbilt season, at least in my opinion, was Vanderbilt had a midweek game against Austin Peay, and where Austin Peay went up 5-1 in the second inning, and it was a real dogfight. In the sixth, it was 6-3, right? And Vanderbilt then puts up 8 runs, wins fairly comfortably, but at the end of the day, they've shown that they need a little bit of time to get themselves going with the bats. And I don't think in the SEC tournament you have that much time to get yourself going with the bats. You need to come out of the gate hot, or when you get a pitcher from Florida rolling, even when you get a pitcher from Missouri rolling, it's going to be hard to push runs across. And if Vanderbilt falls behind early, I think there's a chance they have an early exit in the SEC tournament. All right. Now, the one thing that I will say at the end of this is that the SEC is so good. Like,
Dude, it's
there's not,
insane.
it's like we're talking about upsets. We're talking about like all of this because like that's what's fun to talk about going into the playoffs. But the SEC, like, this is one of the best conferences that you will ever see, just with the collection of just raw talent that's in this conference. And it's number one, if you've been considering buying the SEC Network, make the purchase now. Get it now, just for this tournament. You can cancel your subscription after, but this is the time to go watch yourself some SEC baseball, and I promise you will have a great time. Now, in the ACC, before we get into that, I'll give you guys the rundown on how this works. There are four pools of three teams, and then at the end of it, there will be pools A and D will play each other, and pools B and C will play each other, the winners of those respective pools, and then the winner of those two games will play in the final. Now, the four pools are Pool A is Wake Forest, Notre Dame, and Pitt. Pool B is Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia Tech. Pool C is Clemson, Boston College, and Virginia Tech. And Pool D is Miami, Duke, and NC State. So, is there anything that any first reactions when you hear that collection of guys, and then we can go in pool by pool.
Well, I'm going to jump in
I
for a
think just
quick sec here and say that when you just mentioned Pool A, not to plug previous podcast episodes, but basically, can we call that the friend of the pod division?
it's
Because we
just
had
it's the it's incredible.
head coach Wake Forest on, we had the head coach of Notre Dame on, and we had two Pitt baseball players on. So that's kind of the friend of the pod division, but
It's
I'll shut up now
yeah.
again.
We're ruling for Pool A right now. Yeah. But I mean anything what jumps out to me, I think Pool D is just gonna be a slugfest. I mean, if anyone saw last this weekend, Duke and Miami played, and I mean the third game it was a senior day with all the emotion, they were able to just rally to get a W. But those first two games were just that second game goes into extras and ends on a walk-off awful home run. Like it was just it's a dogfight. UM squeaked out a 2-1 series win, but I think especially with NC State sweeping Pitt, I think all three teams could easily come out of that pool winning.
Yeah. I mean, Miami is at least they appear to be a pretty classic hot cold hot team, right? Start off the
That's
season
young.
blazing, then they really cooled off, and you're like, is this the same team? And as of right now, they've really just hit their stride, and I think they're going to be super dangerous going into the playoffs. So Pool A, go through. I mean, you have the big bad wolf in that division, right? You got Wake Forest. They can hit. They can pitch. They're probably the most complete team in the country right now because like they're just so dominant on both sides of the ball. At least for me, that's who I'm picking to win Pool A, just because I think it's going to be hard to compete. But who do you have at coming out of Pool A, and is there anything that anybody can do to stop?
Let me tell you, there is one. Let me tell you. You know what team has beat Wake Forest before, Dylan? Do you know
I
what team has beat
don't.
them
Which
before?
one?
The University of Pittsburgh. They are a scrappy team. I have watched them, and I have watched them this whole year and wanted to throw remotes at my TV countless times. But let me tell you, don't let the boys get hot. No, I mean, in all seriousness, as much as I love my brother, as much as I love Jaden, I don't see a world where Wake Forest doesn't clean up. I think that Wake Forest is just going to do his job. I think Notre Dame is it going to be able to put up a fight? I think Pitt has technically shown that last year it was able to find some success last year, but I mean this. I just Wake Forest is just a very good baseball team up and down. And I think just with Rhett Lauder at the front, I just don't see how they get. I don't see how they get
He's a
eliminated.
dude. He's like a
Yeah,
guy.
he's a guy. He's a guy.
Pool B, we have Virginia, UNC, and Georgia Tech. I think this has a chance to be a super fun pool. As of right now, I'm a Vance Honeycutt, just ride or die. I think that he's one of the most entertaining players to watch in the country. So as of right now, I think that North Carolina pulls out the W in Pool B and moves on to the semifinals, but I'd love to hear what you got.
I don't. I agree that it's not going to be Virginia. I think I really like. I like UNC, and I also really like. I think that they're a sneaky number 11. I think Georgia Tech is a lot better than the 11 seed. I think one thing that they've shown is that when they get their stride, they can hit. I think that they've been able to hit. I think the thing about a tournament is just who gets hot. And I think that they could show the ability that they just a couple games click and they just put some big runs together and they're able to come out of this. I will agree with you though. I really think that Virginia is vulnerable. I think, yes, obviously they have Kal Teal, ACC Player of the Year, and they have Jake Jelloff, who are just two dudes in their own right. But I really like this one and would kind of, if there was a bet, obviously, but I would really see that the seventh or the 11th seed comes out of here and not Virginia.
Yeah, I think that I think, like, as you put it, a definite upset watch and is going to be super fun moving down the line. Pool C, we have number 3 ranked Clemson, number 6 Boston College, and number 10 Virginia Tech. I think Boston College, I at least personally was not expecting much from them this year, and they've completely blown my expectations out of the water. I think that they're going to be a sneaky host because of their geographic location and their just ability to attract fans in the Boston area who will definitely come out and support them. I think the committee will look at that and think that that's a super good option for a hosting site. Now, will they beat Clemson? Really not sure. So this is honestly the one that gave me the most trepidation, you could say.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of with those two, I kind of get what you're saying. I really like Clemson's squad. I think Clemson has a good team. I think what they've built and the way that they've just been able to win ball games, which at the end of the day is what you're trying to do in baseball, and just how they've been able to do that through just having a nice little balanced team. I think that Clemson, they're just going to stick to what they've been doing the whole year. They're just going to find ways to win, and they're going to find a way to get out of this.
I mean, I'm gonna pull it up real quick, but if we take a look at Clemson's schedule, how many in a row have they won? It's something.
It's
Let's
absurd.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They've won 12 in a row, and 15, 16, 17, and 17 of their last 18. That's
Yeah.
insane. In an just absolutely stacked ACC schedule. Like
Yeah, and the thing I like about them,
that's
who's
really
jumping out
crazy.
to you with them? Like who they don't have the draft prospects that some of these other teams have. They don't have, I mean, they didn't win any awards like compared to like a Virginia who's right above them, or they
No,
don't have the
it's a
draft
team
prospects like
effort.
UM. Exactly. They're just a gritty team that just finds ways to win. And I think that's like the scariest thing, because I don't think when you
Yeah.
play teams like that, there's not really a spot that they're gonna feel uncomfortable in when they
No.
know that it's just next man up. So I really like just how their team is going right now.
Yeah, I think that with this heater that they're on, they're going to be super dangerous not only in this tournament, but in the NCAA tournament. And moving on to Pool D, we talked about it a little bit, but let's get our official picks in. I've got Miami. I think Yo-Yo Morales is a dog. Blake Sur is a dog. I think they're when they're clicking, they're one of the best offensive teams in the country. But I don't think you should sleep on Duke. The only problem is Duke has not been like they've not been a hot team as of late, and I think that might come to bite them when it comes down to it.
Yeah, the one thing I will say about UM, and I mean, obviously being from Miami, I kind of follow UM a lot. The big question I'm going to say is, who's their number two? I think that's the kind of
Yeah.
their big question, is because yes, Gage Zio, he started off the year very cold, but then ever since like kind of a couple weeks into in conference play kind of got started, he's been very effective. The big question again is like, is Alejandro Rosario going to be their number two? He's shown up the ability to be very good in starts, and he's shown the ability to be very bad in starts. And then after that, obviously Carson Ligon got hurt. They don't really have it. So their number two and number three are big questions if they want to kind of move forward into this. I think their offense, obviously their offense plays. I think they have six guys in double-digit home runs, like, which is just an absurd amount. I mean, the fact that your last batter has 13 bombs is just an insane thing to be able to say as part of a team. But again, I saw it a couple of times with them that it was just a couple games where it's just third inning they're down six, and just for the
Yeah.
simple reason of their starting pitchers allowed 7 runs. And it's really, if Alejandro Rosario or someone in the bullpen, more like Alejandro Torres, Carlos Legarreta, Chesnut, they have a couple guys that can step up. It's just someone needs to step up. It can't just be Gage Zio.
Yeah. And I think that's a good testament to add for any team, right? Like everything has to be clicking if you want to win it all. But at the same time, they won't like I think that they will make a run, but if their pitchers don't come to show up, there will be no run to make. Like
Yeah.
they will not make it because like these are two competitive teams that they're playing in NC State and Duke. Like they will pounce on them if they don't
NC State's
use their
just
guys
off a sweep,
effectively.
and Duke is again just another solid team. And the big thing is, again, it's kind of how you were saying before, they're a streaky team. A lot of that is just because they're built on their offense. I think that since they're built so much on having those six guys that have hit 12 bombs, Blake Sur putting up a great season at his freshman year, having Yo-Yo Morales, having Zach Levenson. If those guys don't click, I don't see a lot of ball games that they're winning. They need to be hitting. They have the offense to hit. It's just that, are they going to be able to win games if they don't?
Now, quickly, right? We can put in our picks for the ACC tournament. I mean, this is really tricky for me, but I'm going to say Wake Forest does not win simply just to be different, right? Because like kind of boring if you just say that Wake Forest wins because they've never stopped winning. I'll say UNC goes on a run. I think that they have the tools to. It's just about finding their route, and I think that they have the ability to make a run and win the ACC championship. So I'll go with UNC.
As much as I just spent the last probably 2 minutes saying why they aren't going to win, I got to ride with my boys. I think that UM is going to find a way to win. I think that, calling it from now, Dominic Battelli, their starting shortstop, is going to have a multi-home run game. You heard it here first. He's had multiple in his last 2 years. I think he has won over the tournament. I think that exactly what the reason I said that they can lose is why they're going to win. I think that they're just going to rake. I think that they're always going to hit, and they're going to find ways to hit. I think Alejandro Rosario is going to step up. If he can just be decent, I think they have a good shot with their offense, and I think that they're just going to ride that out.
Yeah. All right. So quickly we can move on to just two conferences that I'm really interested in seeing how their tournaments play out, the Big 12 and the American. So The Big 12, pretty simple, eight teams, double elimination. We can just quickly say who do we think is going to win. We have the list of eight teams is Texas, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Kansas. So that's a very solid collection of teams, but at least to me, you got to go with Oklahoma State. I think Rock Riggio is a super fun player. And that's just one of the reasons why I think they're going to win. I think that they're a complete team, and I quite honestly don't believe in Texas enough to get it done. I think Oklahoma State comes away with it.
I'm so happy you said that so I can talk about the best person that no one's ever heard of. The West Virginia is going to find a way to win this. I think JJ Weatherholt is a dude. He rakes, bro. And I understand it's a team sport and all that. What the guy does everything. He has 15 home runs and 35 stolen bases. He has a 1300 OPS. Like, that's Dylan Cruz level, but we're only talking about Dylan Cruz because this guy's a sophomore. I think that West Virginia is a team that can be very sneaky just for the simple reason of they have him and they can kind of just build around him. I think they've shown it. So call me biased because I just really fell in love with seeing this kid play. I've seen him play a couple times on like midweeks and stuff of them torching some ACC teams, but I really like West Virginia.
That's fair. That's fair. I think it's very interesting that like Texas is the one seed. I understand that it's by record, but to this Texas team does not feel like last year's. It does not feel like a one seed type of team that can roll through anybody. And I think that quite honestly, like, they will be given trouble no matter what in this tournament. Like, whoever they face, I think that the not only is Big 12 good, but I think Texas's struggle against some of these teams is going to surprise some people.
I don't see a route, even with everything falling in their place, that I feel confident in them winning.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can quickly once again do the American. Now I think the American is like, now to be fair, as an ESPN Plus subscriber, I think I watch more American Athletic Conference games than any other conference. But I've really loved watching this collection of teams play. It's South Florida, Memphis, Cincinnati, and Tulane. And then also East Carolina, Houston, Wichita State, and UCF. Now, the three teams that immediately jump out to me are ECU, Houston, and UCF. Those are three teams that I think are going to be competitive in general, but I think seeing them battle it out for a chance at the American Championship is going to be super fun. I think UCF might surprise some people. So, do you have a team that just really stands out to you to start?
I mean, it's not just Danielle. I feel like we just have to give credit to what East Carolina has been able to build. I feel like every other year, they're just find a way to being one of the best teams in the country that no one seems to talk about. Obviously, I could be biased and say how much I like UCF for the simple reason of I'm a Florida boy, but I really just want to give respect to just how consistently good and under the radar good East Carolina has been over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they run the American, right? Even though like there are other teams who can really make a run. I think Houston is going to surprise some people. It feels like the American runs through ECU. So I feel like if you were to press me to make a pick, I would go ECU, but I'm pulling for Houston just for a little bit of drama.
I mean, they're just such it's a great I think it's a good fifth conference. I mean, good sixth conference to have. I think it's very good. I think it has been able to stack up very well in tournament play with like ECU and other teams making runs. I just think, yeah, like you said, right now, with how consistently good they've been, I think it just has to run through ECU until proven otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's four big tournaments with teams to watch out for, teams to maybe watch for an upset. This is, in my opinion, the best time of the year for a college baseball fan. This is just like absolutely electric. You get more eyes on the sport, and I think that it's going to be a ton of fun once again. So thank you all for listening. Thank you guys for wanting to learn more about college baseball. I think that it's so slept on and needs more coverage than it already has. So tune into whatever games you can find on TV. Watch yourself some college baseball, because these kids care so much about it that it will blow you away.
All the energy that you feel like Major League Baseball lacks, if you feel like when you watch Major League Baseball it doesn't have that energy, just tune into one. It can be the most random one. Tune into any college baseball game and you'll see that energy. I mean, I remember Bethune-Cookman went viral because they went and they taped a ton of Gatorade bottles and made a radar gun because that's how much they cared. Like, it's so much more fun when you just watch these teams play. Upsets happen all the time. It's like the perfect mix of baseball and March Madness. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And I would also like to chime in, and yes, this is Dylan again, back for the end here, but to show how much guys care and passionate about college baseball, Henry, we're recording right now pretty late. It's 9 o'clock at night here on the East Coast here in New York City, but Nika, would you like to tell the audience what time it is and where you are in the world right now?
I'm currently in Europe, and it is right now 2:45 in the morning. So I'm very excited for my parents to be hearing this and get a phone call from them tomorrow. Why I'm up at 2:45 in the morning? But hey, I get to talk
college
ball. Because
we bleed college baseball.
No, oh my gosh, I love college. But I mean, the amount of times the amount of super regional upsets I've seen has to be at least in like the 20s from like my whole childhood. Like just watching regionals, I sat through Kumar Rocker's no hitter. Oh my gosh, that thing was magnificent. Like just all. Every single energy, all the energy that you could even imagine happens in college baseball. So, yeah, anytime I can hop on the pod, you know I'm gonna.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Side Retired. Of course, Nico and Henry will be back later on in June when we preview the actual College World Series finals between the two teams. But, of course, we'll be back recording episodes before then. Lots of great interviews, content. Watch out for our kickoff to summer event that is happening in a couple of weeks. We're going to be inviting fans out to join us for that one. So more podcasts, more interviews, more fun. Dylan, Nico, Henry, and everyone else on the podcast. Until the next time, the side is officially retired.